This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. It's a Friday, so that means we get to talk to our NHL insider, Sean Shapiro. So many things to promote with Sean. ShapShots, terrific subscription service. Sean gives out some great information, terrific analytics, just things that you want as far as a Stars breakdown. So there's that. The name of the book that he wrote is called We Win Here. He's also part of EP Ringside. He's also part of D Magazine. He's part of so many things. In fact, he stars in a movie called The Late Game Movie. So you can get that via Amazon right now. How did I do, Sean?
You did great there, Gavin.
Nice.
You did great. And of course, I'm part of the Spits and Suds family too.
Yeah, so you are, man. Yeah, we are so darn proud. And by the way, let's just start by giving a plug. Robert Tiffin, who's been so awesome to Spits and Suds, Sean, he's coming out or came out with a website where he produces a lot of articles too. So I think that's wonderful. Anytime we can promote and say, hey, more Stars contact for the DFW sports fan. And it's coming from Robert, who's really good.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Yeah. I read Robert's stuff. It's, he does a great job. I always like reading Robert's things on anything hockey related. So give him a follow on that. Give him a read on that. It's good stuff.
So we talked to Craig after the game the other day, Sean, and I was pretty vocal after the game telling Stars fans, like, listen, I think the team played really well. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, they're down 0-2 without saying, I think they played really well. I think they played a solid game. You know, a couple of mistakes, but, you know, that happens during the game. So in talking with Craig, one of the things that Craig said as far as we move forward to game three on Saturday night, Craig said it's time to get dirty. And Craig's an old school guy, obviously, but played, almost 200 playoff games in the NHL. And what he means by that is getting to the dirty areas. He really wants to see a bigger net front presence. He loved on that power play when Jamie Benn was setting that screen. And I wanted to get your thoughts as far as, you know, Craig's thinking that, you know, physicality is great, but you really got to, you know, make a difference in that net front presence.
I mean, that's the biggest thing, right? Like Vegas is winning this series in a very simple way right now. They are eliminating the high danger slot area from the Stars. They're taking away that. And it's a very simple thing. You have to win back that territorial battle. And Craig's completely right on it. I think the other thing about the Stars too, just from getting to the quote unquote dirty areas and everything like that, there's an element that Dallas at this point needs to make it harder for Vegas to get to the prime areas. Dallas has outchanced Vegas throughout this series, but a lot of Vegas's goals, Gavin, if you were just to watch them in highlight reel fashion, just like back to back, you're like, those are pretty good chances. They should be scoring on them, except for obviously the weird floater in game one.
Yeah.
You gotta make life harder on Vegas too. So it's not, playoff hockey can be very simple at times. And Craig's 100% right on this one. The Stars have to get to that area. They have to eliminate that. They have to get through the halo around the Vegas net. They have to create a better halo around their net. He's 100% right on that.
I'm going to ask a simplistic question because you have been so great to tell us We talked about it the other day, and you said, well, Gavin, you know, the Stars really aren't like a heavy cycle team. And the question is, if you're not a heavy cycle team playing against a defensive force like Vegas is, do you have time in the zone to set up camp in front of the net?
Yeah, I mean, you can. You have to get there. If anything, it's kind of, I would argue, one of the ways you get there is you get there quickly. A lot of Vegas's defensive structure is built on getting, they're going to give you the outside. They're going to do all of that. And so I think from a Stars perspective, part of it is getting to those spots right away before Vegas can get set and build that fortress, pun completely intended. And the other way you do it is you win some more faceoffs, right? Let's look at it. Like the end of game one, I think I had gone through it and rewatched part of game one the other day. The Stars lost four of the final six faceoffs in the offensive zone in game one, including, and then one of the wins was the one that Jamie Benn shoveled all the way past Heiskanen at the point. You got to start winning those battles too. And the Stars are normally a good faceoff team, but Vegas has been a better faceoff team at the right moment. I think there's ways you can do it without being the bully cycling team. And you just have to be able to think outside the box a little bit. Like, I know that's not the greatest hockey way to put it, but that's one of my looks at it on this. So
yeah, absolutely. And as I also pointed out on the post, pretty tough as far as there were a couple Spits and Suds listeners that said, you know, they looked tired at the end of the third period and they thought it was the physicality, but also when two of your forwards go down, that certainly does put a little bit more stress, you know, because a lot of times you have to play on two lines. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, but I also like, I'm going to push back slightly on,
yeah, sure,
on looking tired on the injuries, because it's then the minutes were still typical for everyone. So I don't have as much for the missing two forwards in a game. I think I think it applies a bit more to defensemen when it happens, but I think Vegas did take a bit of a chunk out of the Stars too on the forecheck. So I think there is all of that, but I don't really buy much of the tired excuses. I guess I'm a little bit more critical of that.
Fine. Absolutely. That's why you're on here, to express your opinion. That leads me to congratulations to two members of the Stars organization. Logan Stankoven wins AHL Rookie of the Year, and Maverick Bork announced as the MVP. So with the injuries, a lot of Stars fans are thinking, will we see Maverick Bork? So I wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah. So Maverick Bork wins AHL MVP last night and then delivers in a game that Texas won 2-0 to win their first round game. Now, the AHL playoffs are a completely different animal than the NHL playoffs, because 23 teams get in and there's a little play-in round. So they just had a little best of three versus Manitoba to get in. So I have heard, and I'm not saying this is actually happening, but I know that there's been chatter and rumbling that Maverick Bork could be recalled to the Dallas Stars before game three in Vegas on Saturday, which is great. If it happens, there's going to be a lot of people reacting on Twitter and thinking like this. I want to be very clear on something. Maverick Bork getting recalled to the Dallas Stars tomorrow and even appearing at morning skate and everything like that, it doesn't mean he's going to play. And I think that's what people need to keep in mind here, because everything right now is a what if situational injury cover type thing. Right now, Derek Pouliot is the Stars' seventh defenseman because Dallas wants to keep him healthy in case of an injury, as opposed to having him play in Texas where he could potentially get hurt in a playoff game. Texas also doesn't play game one of their next round until next Thursday. So you could, in theory, have Maverick Bork called up to Dallas be a healthy scratch in game three, four, and hopefully five, and still, and then just be reassigned to Texas on Thursday. So I want just everyone to keep that in mind. Maverick Bourque could be called up and he could play. He also could be called up, and it's just literally, hey, we got a top prospect league MVP here. He's going to be sitting and practicing in Cedar Park anyway. It doesn't hurt to practice with the NHL team for the next 3 to 4 days. So please keep that in mind if you're listening to this and you see Bourque recalled. Or if you're listening right now, keep this in mind when you see the potential recall tomorrow morning, if it happens. Keep all of that in mind because it is not a, oh my God, Maverick Bourque is playing. The schedule just works out perfectly where there is no disadvantage at all to recalling Maverick Bourque right now. From a timing perspective, from a Texas Stars perspective, all the way down to a cap perspective, financially speaking, Maverick Bourque is paid the same today, whether he's in the NHL or AHL. This is not a regular season type deal where there's money, where money changes value or anything like that. You got to remember that players are paid based off the regular season, not the playoffs. So keep all of that in mind when you potentially see Bourque recalled. That being said, Gavin, we can have the second conversation is it the right decision to put Bourque into the lineup? And I kind of want to spin it back and kind of throw these two ideologies back to you. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, Gavin. One, the Stars need to score more goals. They haven't scored at even strength since they haven't scored like a real good even strength goal since period one of game one. The Mason Marchment goal was an ugly floater, right? That got them back into it. So you need to score some goals. Maybe you bring up the guy who lit the AHL up and everything like that, and to maybe get to those areas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That being said, so that being said, you could do that, and that's fine. That being said, Ty Dellandre and Sam Steele have been with you all year long. They've been there all year. And what are you sending the right message if you don't put them in as a coaching staff? And I'm not arguing for one or the other. I just wanted to throw out both of those realities here, where this is a team that has been very close and battled for everything, and keep all of that in mind. And so I'm gonna let you talk on this.
I think Craig Smith needs to go in. That's big on my list, because stylistically, after watching two games, I think Craig Smith fits against Vegas. I like that he takes a lot of shots on net, because I think that's what's something, you know, that the Stars need. Shots on goal. I think to take one or both of those games, I think they have to be over the 30 shots on goal mark, which is going to be tough against Vegas. So I would like to see Craig Smith, and I agree with you. I think it does send a message, and I personally would like to see a Ty Dellandrea, because I like that scrappiness. Now, scrappiness needs to be held under control. There's that fine line with a Craig Smith and a Ty Dellandrea, probably more than Ty Dellandrea. You cannot spend a lot of time in the sin bin against Vegas. We've seen how effective that power play is, especially when Hurdle's on the ice. So I understand they need scoring. I wouldn't mind seeing the players that have been there all year long with Maverick Bourque up if you need him, because I like the size of those two individuals. So that's my thought.
That's fine. And that's the thing. For me, I'll put it this way. I can see the merits of both bringing in Maverick Bourque because you need to score. And I can also see the merits of going with Dellandrea and basically it's more of whether I think Smith's in either way. The question is if both Foxa and and Marchman are out. It's the it's pretty clear to me that then that's when it becomes is the question of is it Bork or Dellandrea in?
Yeah.
And I see if you are going, I will put it this way: if you are going to bring in Bork, if you're going to make the decision on Bork, I don't care which decision you make it for game three and not game four. I don't think it's fair to anyone to potentially go into a game four down 0-3 and then trying to be like, oh my God, we're breaking glass and doing this. That puts so much of pressure on the kid. Or hypothetically, hopefully the answer is you win game three. And all of a sudden, either Bork helped you win or Dellandrea helped you win. And then you're like, so to me, I'm making that decision. Obviously, other injuries happen, things can always change. But if we assume the health status is what it is, I'm fine with either or as long as you are making the decision before game three and not for game four. So that's kind of my logic on this as I look at that. I hope that makes some sense to
Yeah,
people here.
absolutely. And if there are changes, and let's say Maverick Bork's not playing, I would like to see Dodonov
Higher in the
move.
lineup, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wanted to explain on Spits and Suds, and this is why we love having Sean as part of the program. So in today's practice, here were the lines, and there was some juggling with Robertson, Hintz, and Wyatt Johnston, Ben Duchesne, Stankoven, Dodonov, Pavelski, no Sagan on the ice, Dellandrea, Steele, and Smith. So Brian Ray is a good follow and just an all-around good guy, your intermission host as well as your pre- and post-host for the Stars. And he tweeted out, Coach DeBoer downplayed the practice lines today, said a few players skated beforehand, also labeled Marchment Faxa as day-to-day, added both forwards were progressing. We will see what things look like in game three. And I thought that was an important tweet after the lines because of the juggling. And explain that, Sean, as far as, you know, what they do in practice as opposed to what we might see in the game.
Well, for one, I think practice lines at this time of year are typically a sham anyway. I just think the reality is you mess around, you trace, you play some things out, you figure it out, and that's what you do. It's also, we're spending the time talking about these line jugglings on this podcast. I talked to someone else earlier about it later. It's effectively 30 minutes of my life I'm never going to get back. Like, and you know what? Pete DeBoer knows that it's 30 minutes of Bruce Cassidy's life he's never going to get back.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, it's you talk about the little game management. While it probably doesn't have an impact on who wins or loses tomorrow night, at the end of the day, you're trying to beat the other guy.
Yeah.
And if you can stick him with a toothpick every so often with something ridiculously silly like juggling your lines or even calling up Maverick Bork tomorrow just to make them think about it for a bit, it's the same reason the Bruins are doing the whole like, I feel like we all know the Bruins, we all knew the Bruins were going to rotate goalies, but why did Jim Montgomery play it off that they weren't going to rotate? Well, it makes Sheldon Keefe and Toronto have to think about it for a little bit. It makes them put an extra prep work. It makes them do that. Like, to me, it's I don't trust practice lines 90% of the time. I also, sorry, in the playoffs, I would use that caveat. I don't trust practice lines 90% of the time in the playoffs. And I also think there's just too many moving pieces on this, right? Like, it's if you had, like, in theory, because I saw a practice today, what it was Pavelski and Dodonov were skating together, right? Are you going to try to make the slowest line in NHL history by putting Marchment or Faxa with them? Probably not. Are you going to like? I wouldn't read too much into those lines right now. Maybe I'm completely wrong, and they're completely hitting the
No,
blender. But I
no,
just I yeah yeah.
I'm sorry it took away 30 minutes of your life,
No. It's just
but I think it is
it's certain.
important to point this out to Spits and Suds listeners who might see that and react like, oh, wow.
I'm not getting those 30 minutes back, no matter what we talked about, Gavin. At the end of the day, we're all 1 second old. We're all 30 minutes older after this, no matter what. So let's.
As long as you're not like Luds and say to yourself, "I'm never getting this time back by record this podcast," then I'm okay. Yes. Then I'm smiling.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we do say. Well, that's the regular season, and we talk about the Vegas matchup versus the Stars, and, you know, we talk about a lot of things and how playoff hockey is certainly different. But I did want to ask you, because the away record of the Stars during the regular season, 26-10-5, and that equaled their home winning record, and it's also a franchise best as far as wins on the road. So personally, and I wanted to get your thoughts, I think that in some way that could translate, in fact, that you do have some confidence going on the road and that builds over a season.
I think so. I mean, it's the other way. The other thing about it is I think one of the reasons the Stars have a one of Pete DeBoer's philosophies on life in coaching is he's not a line matcher, he's a line roller. And I think when you're a line roller, like the Stars are, it doesn't matter that you don't have the last change. Like, I think teams get exposed when they rely heavily on matchups and they go on the road and they don't get the last change and they got to figure it out and they got to scramble and everything like that. Like, so I think there's a practical reason the Stars are, it works well for the Stars because of how their coach decides to run his forward lines. And then from a confidence perspective, going and winning games on the road has never been an issue for the Stars. And I think we've kind of become, this is going to be a hot, quote unquote, hot take on something. I think the age of home field, home ice, home whatever, ball, home ballpark, whatever. I feel like with today's athlete, I feel like it's become less and less of a thing it used to be. And this is another thing I'd be actually curious. I'm always giving you homework here, Gavin. This is another thing I'd be curious if Bud's thought on it. Like, I think today's athlete is so insulated. They don't read about what happens. They don't pay attention to other things. It's very much a living in their own world, everything like that. I just get the feeling, and it's not just hockey. I think it's in general. I think the playing at home, playing a home game, and for professional athletes, I don't think it holds the same advantage that it once was. And that's just my own.
Yeah.
Semi-educated opinion. Like, I see the Rangers having, you know, your station carries all the Rangers games, right? Like you see the Rangers had no issue going on the road to quote unquote tough environments and winning on the road there. Like, I think it can have an impact. I don't think, especially with a veteran team like Dallas, I don't think it's the type of thing that is would ever like overpower you or anything like that.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know. Parity might also be thrown in the mix. Teams are certainly better and more even across the board.
And hockey is hockey, right? That's the other thing where all these buildings and arenas are the same. The only difference is you get last change. That's the only difference when you go to the other place. Like, I would argue the one place that's super difficult as a road team to go into for a serious perspective is actually Colorado. I think the elevation actually messes with people in Colorado.
Yes. And Craig said that as well. He said his favorite actual nights playing in Colorado was on a back-to-back because you didn't have time. You just went to the rink, did your morning skate. If there was a morning skate, you were in your hotel for the majority of the time. You took a nap and you just played. So the altitude didn't really take effect.
Yeah, so like I think that, but like going to Vegas is it loud? My one take on Vegas as having been there multiple times as a writer is I don't like how I think they play the club music a little bit too loud, but that's I don't think that's impacting the but that doesn't play while the ice is going. So like,
yeah. Going, so. Yeah, you're absolutely. You know, the other thing that Craig had pointed out during the season is that road trips can bring some bonding, even though this is playoff time. So they've spent a lot of time together already. But it also gets you into a normal routine. Family isn't necessarily around. I know as the playoffs move along, they are more around. But basically, it's like your one focus is hockey. And homes, you know, sometimes you can have, and they're not bad distractions, but there are more distractions at home. So it is interesting. Hey, I'm keeping the faith, Sean, because, I don't think they've played bad in these first two games, and, they've been a good road team. So I'm going to be optimistic going in. I really am.
And that's fine. That's great. I mean, Dallas can still win this series. It is an uphill climb.
Yeah.
But Dallas can still win this series. It is, you go take care of business here and you do it. That's great. I think it's being down 2-1 in this series. It wouldn't really, like, if Dallas can win Saturday and it's all of a sudden you got to win three out of the next, Then you're down 2-1 in the series, and you got to win three out of the next four games. I don't think that's too monumental to ask for a team that was the best team in the West through 82 games.
Yep.
You lose tomorrow. It's a must win. Let's call it what it is. It's a must win tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And it's okay to call it that. But that doesn't mean I have any doubt that they can win the must win.
Right. Right. So we have rain here the next couple of days. So get yourself Stars ready by watching the late game movie with Sean, and you'll see him in net. By the way, how'd you do in the beer league the other day?
Very good. I posted a 4-0 shutout here, bud.
What? Come on.
We won 4-0. On top of that, first time in my life I've ever been part of this, and this is an extreme rarity. We killed off a full 2 minutes of a 5-on-3, actually, at the end.
Wow.
We had about 3.5 minutes left in the game. We had one guy slash a guy on their team, and this was a guy who was a bit of a prick on the other team. Another guy on our team took an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty shooting his stick around the ice, and we had to kill a 5-on-3 2 minutes of a 5-on-3, which we did. And I will say, I have a new, like, top feeling in hockey. There is no better feeling than you kill the 5-on-3 and then two guys leave the box at once. Like, it's amazing. So I will say it's the first I've ever been a part of something like that. So, wow.
So how much time was left on the clock when they were released from the box?
So they took the penalty about 3.5 minutes left.
Okay.
So it was about a minute and a half left in the game. It was a 4-0 game at the time. It's a 4-0 game at the time, but, you know, a 5-on-3 can all of a sudden change the equation of things very quickly. So it was an intense 2 minutes, and then incredibly peaceful after.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. So after that, then your one job on your mind is I'm preserving this shutout.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's sweet. So, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So check him out. If you want to get some reading in, the name of the book is We Win Here, Shap Shots. Terrific. Subscribe this weekend, and you'll get some great information on the Stars. Name of the book, We Win Here. Author and EP Ringside, D Magazine. And obviously, he's part of the Spits and Suds podcast. And we appreciate you, Sean Shapiro. Enjoy the game tomorrow night and that 9:30 Central Time supposed puck drop, sir.
yep.
Notice how I slowed that down. I'm not going to get on the soapbox, but I did slow it down to emphasize the 9:30 p.m. Saturday puck drop when all the kids will be gathered around the TV watching.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Yep. June conversation. Yeah. All right, my man. Thank you so much. Appreciate you jumping on. And thank you, one and all. We're having an awesome month, and we're ending it on style. And we want to keep these podcasts going, and we appreciate all the feedback. Also saw that a couple of you went on Apple and gave us some reviews. So thank you so much. And it was awesome that you said, I love the insiders they have on. So massive compliment to Sean, and as well as Robert and David and Luds and just everyone involved in Spits and Suds. So thank you so much for the growth of this program. We appreciate it, especially during the playoffs. So tell a friend that we're giving you as many podcasts as we can to keep you informed during this playoff run. So for Sean Shapiro, I'm Gavin Spittle. Have a great day. We'll be back after the game tomorrow night, everyone.